Hello from Valley Baptist Church in Eureka, Montana. Valley Baptist Church is an independent Baptist church serving the greater Eureka, Montana area. Pastor Matt Schrepfer is the pastor. His wife, Juanetta, serves along his side.
Well, good morning, everyone. As Valerie plays through a verse for us, let's take a moment and prepare our hearts for the service ahead. Let's open our songbooks to Brandon's favorite song, Worthy of Worship, number 23. Number 23, Worthy of Worship. Joshua, would you please lead us, my friend?
Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all the glad songs we can sing, safety of all of the offerings we bring. You are worthy, Father, Creator, you are worthy, Savior, Sustainer, you are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise, worthy of reverence, worthy of fear, worthy of love and devotion, worthy of bowing and bending of knees, worthy of all this and added to these. You are worthy, Father, Creator, you are worthy, Sustainer, you are worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise. Almighty Father, Master and Lord, King of all kings and Savior and source of our life without end, you are worthy, Father, Creator, you are worthy, Savior, Sustainer, you are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship.
Let's pray together. Our Father, Lord God, I realize that none of us in ourselves are worthy of any grace from you, and yet you've been merciful to us, withholding from us the judgment for our sin that we deserve. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Through the Lord Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, the shedding of his blood for the remission of our sins, through faith in him, we have forgiveness. You are worthy of all of our worship and worthy of all of our praise. I ask you that in this hour, together, it would be about you and that we would, in every way, worship you. Also, Heavenly Father, I ask you that it would not be just this hour today, but throughout the rest of this day, and certainly that it would not be a once-a-week thing, that it would be all week long, every week in our lives, that we would bring you honor and glory. You deserve it all. As we observe the Lord's Supper, I ask you, Heavenly Father, that it would be a time where we reflect upon what you've done for us in the person of Jesus Christ. It's all, our salvation has already been paid for. It is up to us to receive it personally. And Father, I ask you that you would be the one who in this time together today is exalted because of your great love for us. Heavenly Father, I also ask you that as we sing together and fellowship together and enjoy opening the scriptures together, that you would bless in this hour. And as we look forward to the baptism out at Dickey Lake later and the picnic, Father God, that that would be a blessing to all who are able to attend. And also for those who are being baptized, Father God, that it would be a step in their lives closer to you and a step of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the years ahead. Father God, I ask you that if there's anyone here today who is in one way or another struggling and not sure that they have forgiveness of sin, not sure that they have heaven as their home and eternal life, that they would make sure of that today through placing faith in Jesus Christ alone, not any other possible work. But Father God, that you would lead them to talk with me as well, that we might be able to solve that and make sure of it, and that they would be able to go forward with you for the rest of their lives. Father God, again, I thank you for this time together. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray, amen. Joshua, would you lead us in the old rugged cross, number 310, a favorite of several.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. For I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll change
Let's all take our Bibles and stand for scripture reading. Please open your Bibles to Luke 22 as Tom reads verses 14 through 22 for us.
Good morning and welcome, everybody. When the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and says, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new testament of my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly, the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed." Amen.
Thank you for reading that. Children's church is dismissed at this time. You may be seated, everyone, and open your songbooks to 293. Sorry about that, Tom. And we'll sing together, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," number 293. The good singing, everyone. We will be looking again at the command for the local church to observe the Lord's Supper, or the Lord's Table, as it is called in the Bible, and one time called Communion. And we will be doing so out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23 again. I want to double check the time. Yes, that is on. The reason I'm saying that is I don't want us to go beyond noon so that we have time to regather out at Dickey Lake on time. So I'm just watching the time a little bit, and yet I want the Holy Spirit to lead in our time together. This passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, of course, is referred back to, it refers back to what Tom just read for us in Luke chapter 22. It's also in Mark 14 and Matthew 26. At any rate, it is a command, and a lot of you are familiar with commands. Some of you have been in the military, and either giving or obeying a command is a life and death matter. In the Bible, often that is the case too. And we have 10 commandments, right? Well, yes, when I was in Bible college, it was interesting to me when I first, heard a little bit about Bible commands in one of my classes. The 10 commandments in Bible college settings are called the Decalogue. Okay? Log meaning law, and ten, deca is 10. You know that. Well, I've never done it, but there have been some who have counted the commandments in the Bible. Some of them are positive commands, thou shalt. Some are negative commands, thou shalt not. Did you know in the Old Testament alone there are 613? Wow. In the New Testament, there are 253. This is a New Testament command. This do in remembrance of me from Jesus Christ. This do. It is a command from Jesus Christ. So we do it as a local church. The church in Corinth was a local church. We do it once a month. And actually, it's interesting. Last month, I spent some time on the very verses we'll be looking at today. And it seems inexhaustible to me as I study these things. Something I'd like to visit, and I know I've probably mentioned it before, is three ways we're to observe this, the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table. It was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, first of all, in Matthew 26, verse 26, in Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 26, and then, as Tom read for us, in Luke chapter 22, verse 19. It was practiced by the apostles. We recognize that an ordinance for a local church was given or instituted by Jesus Christ, practiced by the apostles, and thirdly, practiced by local churches in the New Testament. And we find that there are two. The other one, of course, is believer's baptism, and we get to do that this afternoon too. I'm looking forward to that. So it was practiced by the early churches, and we see that here in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. Now, Grace Brethren are, a lot of them, believers, and I know they're Christian folks. They hold the three ordinances. Anyone want to guess? Foot washing, yeah. I've pondered that. We say Jesus instituted it. And yes, he did. He instituted foot washing to his apostles, didn't he? That they should do that. It was an example of serving each other. But we don't find it continuing on. We don't find it later on where the apostles did it. And we don't find it where New Testament churches did it either. So we say there's two. If you ever go to a Grace Brethren church somewhere around the world, and one time we did in Canada, be ready to take your shoes off on that Sunday. At any rate, when was it instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it was the same night in which he was betrayed. Woe unto him that betrayed him. That was the same night. When was it practiced? It was practiced on the first day of the week, not the Sabbath, which is Saturday, not the seventh day, the first day of the week. Why? Because Jesus Christ rose again from the grave on the first day of the week. Go to Acts chapter 20. If you have your Bible open to 1 Corinthians 11, keep your finger there or whatever. We'll be going back. Acts chapter 20, verses 6 and 7, it's very obvious. This is the Apostle Paul, of course, and Luke was with him, and so were others. Timothy, Tychicus, Trophimus, and others were with him. Verse 6 says, Acts 20, verse 6, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread." That would have been leading up to the end of the week. "And came unto them at Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days." So it's a week later now. "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread." When you see the two words "break bread" in your Bible, it's not talking about, like we'll do out at Dickey Lake, a picnic. It's talking about the Lord's Supper or communion. "Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Now, I'm not planning to do that, the last part of that anyway. However, they gathered together on the first day of the week, to break bread, to observe the Lord's Supper. So that's when it was practiced. How should it be practiced? Well, our main text tells us, 1 Corinthians 11 now, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord," this is the Apostle Paul writing, how he received this from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, "that which also I delivered unto you," to a local church, and we're a local church, still in the same age as those folks were, "that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" I'm going to emphasize, "in remembrance of me." Verse 25, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" It's not about a church dogma or doctrine. It's about Jesus Christ. I think we all understand that. Verse 26, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Till he come. He hasn't come back yet, so we still do this. And I'm looking forward to when he comes back, but in the meantime, I look forward to this each month too. "For as oft as ye eat this bread," verse 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord," "unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." In ourselves, we're unworthy. But if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've believed in what he's done for us, represented here in the observance of the Lord's Supper, then you are worthy. You've been made worthy by him. But if you haven't received him, you're guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That is a serious matter. I would encourage anyone who is not saved, if you are not sure that you're born again, have received Jesus as your Savior, not to participate. That's not up to us to police. We don't do that. However, let's go on. Verse 28, "But let a man examine himself." That's your responsibility before God. "And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. If you've examined your heart and confessed your sin and you know you're saved, eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And some had done that. And verse 30 says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." That would have to do with physical death. The local church is commanded to observe the ordinance called the Lord's table. As believers, we're of all people most privileged to do so. According to our text, when we practice the Lord's table, we must observe it in appreciation. First and foremost, appreciation. "This do in remembrance of me," Jesus said in verses 24 and 25. They gave thanks. They prayed. and thanked and praised God in the church in Corinth for what had been accomplished for them when Jesus hung on Calvary's cross and was then buried and rose again the third day. They thanked God for that in verse 24. Secondly, to do so in appreciation, we must reflect on Christ's sacrifice for us. It is a remembrance, something that we reflect back on. When we do this, it's not about today, per se. This is an act of worship today, yes, but it's about what has been accomplished on Calvary's cross for us. And you do show the Lord's death till he come. The word show literally means declare. It's more than a show and tell. It is a life that shows what has been accomplished on Calvary's cross for us. So first of all, in appreciation. Secondly, in examination. Verse 27 through 29 speaks of let a man examine himself. And I underlined himself. It's not for you to examine other people. It's for you to examine yourself. You know your heart, at least more than anyone else in this room does. God knows it perfectly. He's not caught by surprise. Examine yourself and see if there's any sin in us that would set us back. See if there be any wicked way in me, as King David said. Purge me from every sin. I brought with me a copy of a song called Unworthy. I'll just have to read it. Unworthy am I of the grace that he gave, unworthy to hold to his hand. Amazed that a king would reach down to a slave. This love I cannot understand. And the chorus is unworthy, unworthy, a beggar in bondage and alone. But he made me worthy. And now by his grace, his mercy has made me his own. The second verse is my sorrow and sickness laid stripes on his back. My sins caused the blood that was shed. I spoke with a fellow yesterday. I think of it that way. Every time I sin, it added a stripe to Jesus' suffering. My faults and my failures have woven a crown of thorns that he wore on his head. And then the chorus again. The third verse is, unworthy am I of the glory to come, unworthy with angels to sing. That I agree with too. I thrill just to know that he loves me so much. A pauper, I walk with the king. Unworthy, unworthy, a beggar in bondage and alone. But he made me worthy, and now by his grace, his mercy has made me his own. One of these days, we'll try to get the music to that and sing it in some setting here. But I thought I would share that today. In one sense, none of us are worthy. But in Romans 3:10, well, it says there's none righteous, no, not one, as the Bible says. Certainly, we're not worthy in ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. In Christ, we are worthy. Keep your finger here and go to Romans 5, verse 19. Romans 5, verse 19, the Bible says it this way. Wow, I went there quickly. Try to catch up if you can. Romans 5, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. None of us are worthy, but by the obedience of Jesus Christ who hung on the cross and shed his blood for your sins and mine, through faith in him, we've been made worthy. We need to examine whether we're continuing to, of course, offend our Lord. Thirdly, it does not say don't partake. Examine yourself and then partake. So let him eat, verse 28 says. I'll give you a moment in just a minute to Take any known sin before the Lord and confess it. The third way we're to do this is in anticipation. We anticipate spring coming, and now we anticipate fall coming when it gets hot like this. That's okay. We anticipate a lot of things, maybe a birthday or Christmas or something like that. But certainly in anticipation, verse 26 says, till he come. We can anticipate his coming again. In Luke chapter 22, Tom read for us, I say unto you, I will not eat any more thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. When he comes again and receives us to be with himself, eventually he will set up his kingdom and this will all be fulfilled and we won't have to do this anymore. I guess I shouldn't say it in a negative way. In a wonderful way, it'll be fulfilled and we'll enjoy him forever, the one who this pictures. So the local churches continue this until Christ returns. And it reminds us that it could be any moment. Any moment, Jesus could come and take us up to be with him. Are you ready? Are you ready? Am I ready? Secondly, he will return. It's not might, it's not maybe, it's not should or could. It will. He will. It's the next event on, we call it, the prophetic calendar. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And thirdly, as we anticipate, we can be comforted looking for his return. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, as you look forward to his return, comfort one another with these words. In Titus chapter 2, it tells us of, it's called our blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, in conclusion, before we observe the Lord's Supper, I want to say there's no special saving grace in what we do. We can't work a work and be saved. It is already done for us, and this pictures what has been done for us. So I don't want anyone thinking that if they do this, they'll have some sort of step toward heaven. No, it's already been done. If you've received him, this shows what has been done for you. It represents and pictures his sacrifice on the cross once. Hebrews chapters 9 and 10. The elements are symbolic. Unleavened bread means it doesn't have any yeast in it. And unfermented juice means it is not fermented. Both fermentation and yeast picture sin in the Bible. And Jesus Christ was without sin. So that's why the elements are as they are. Now, it is not also when there are some who teach what's called transubstantiation. It is not that. It is where a priest holds a chalice up in the air and in Latin maybe blesses the cup and it becomes the literal blood of Jesus, so they say. Or the bread, similarly, or the wafer it would be called. Even though they seem to remain in their natural characteristics, they're transformed into the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ. And I would say that's unbiblical and that's gross. And of course, for all of us who recognize Bible teaching, we're not, that would be a sin against, an abomination against God. So it is not transubstantiation. It's symbolic of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his broken body for us. Now, Martin Luther taught what's called consubstantiation. It's kind of a step between there and the truth. What I would say there, meaning transubstantiation. Consubstantiation, he said, means the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is with, in, and under the elements. If anybody knows what that means, would you please tell me sometime? It's not that stuff. In conclusion, let's confess our sin to God. He promises if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's stand and sing Because He Lives, just verse 1, number 387. Because He Lives. Let's stand as we're dismissed and sing verse 1 of Because He Lives, one of Faith's favorite songs. And then as soon as we can, let's head out toward Dickey Lake, everyone, okay? Because He Lives, 387.
God's at his side. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
Valley Baptist Church has multiple services. Sunday school is at 9:45 a.m. The morning service is at 11 a.m. The evening service starts at 6 p.m. There's also a Wednesday night Bible study at 6 p.m. Additional men and women Bible studies are also conducted on a regular basis. Other activities include monthly potluck meals, monthly men's breakfasts, and much more. Valley Baptist Church is located at 64627 Highway 37. And that's in Eureka, Montana. Our phone number is 406-889-3134. Thank you for joining us for this audio sermon.